afternoon, TSN 690.
Be the beginning of Casablanca. Welcome back. It is hour number four, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. We'll take you to the Raptors and Cleveland Cavaliers game two at 7 o'clock tonight right here on TSN 690. As promised, we are going to Paris, France. He is with us every Wednesday after 6, and he promised that he would continue to join us every Wednesday at 6 our time, even though he is much later in Paris, France. How are you, Gord Miller?
I'm good. Was that the French national anthem you just played?
Yes.
It's the most bloodthirsty national anthem in the world.
In the world? Are you sure about that?
Yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the words are something like, those ferocious soldiers are coming right into our arms to cut the throats of your sons and your women, so let's march and deal with blood.
Well, you know what? Instead of Jeanette Renault, the Habs ought to play that before every playoff game.
Hey, yeah.
How do you know this? How do you know this? Did you like buy Trivial Pursuit and read all the questions back when it came out 20, 30 years ago?
No, I was here at the World Cup in 1998, and one of the guys I worked with was mentioning what the words mean in English. I was like, whoa.
By the way, on Gord's Twitter account earlier today, what year is that picture from?
1984.
If you're wondering what Gord Miller looked like in 1984...
At the age of 19.
So you were in the business at 19. We have a similar background. I was a teenager when I started working, yep.
17, actually, I started out, yeah.
17? You were underage, Gord.
I was on the air. I did my first show on the air when I was 19, but I was helping out at CBC Edmonton doing weekend highlights.
Wow.
Voicing them over. But yeah. I did my first television show when I was 19.
So... give us your view of what happened to Sidney Crosby and...
Yeah,
all of the reaction to what happened to Sidney Crosby.
I don't like it. I didn't like the slash by Ovechkin. I don't know that Niskanen did that on purpose. I don't buy that. I don't think Steckel hit him on purpose in the outdoor game. I do think things happen in the game, but I do agree with Brendan Gallagher's take that they've let so much go that the players are taking extreme liberties with each other. I do think that if they had cut down on slashing in the regular season, Ovechkin doesn't take that whack at Crosby that causes him to go down. I really do believe that. And I think that, you know, Ray Ferraro and I had this sort of Twitter back and forth about the rule book, and I sarcastically posted a picture of the rule book and said it's actually an interesting read if you can see what's actually illegal in the NHL. And I just think they let it slip to the point where it gets out of control, and I think the games are out of control now in a lot of cases.
Brendan Gallagher, for those who missed it yesterday, we did play it. He was on in his home of Vancouver, TSN 1040.
I don't think he was going out intentionally trying to hurt Crosby. I don't think he was doing anything like that. I just think, the intensity that comes with playoff hockey, this is the way it's being called, the way it's being officiated. And Niskanen, regardless of the way Crosby's fallen, Niskanen is getting prepared to cross-check him, regardless of where he intended to hit him. It's just kind of where the game is going. I'd love to see it called the way it is in the regular season, but players are going to realize the way that the game's being called, and if they're able to get away with that stuff, that's kind of what it led to.
All right, so to pick up on what Gord just said, and I know Gord would always give me the gears when I'd write my blog I always took a shot at the officials, and that's because they're an easy target. I usually did so in a fun kind of way. I'm pretty good friends with Dave Jackson, who has moved out west. Got to know a lot of the officials through Dave Jackson over the years. I like them. I like most of them. But this spring, there's something different. It's ugly, and that's their responsibility. So whether they're taking orders or they don't know what they're doing on the ice, they're incompetent, I don't know what it is, but I know it takes a lot of the enjoyment out of the viewing exercise of the playoffs right now.
I agree with you, Mitch, and I would love to see them call it more like they call it in the IHF, where a penalty in the first minute of the first period is a penalty in the last minute of the third period. I don't I don't like the idea of officials managing games. Call the rules the way they're written in the rule book. Now, you can say that IHF officiating is too tight, and I get that, but it's very consistent. And once the players adapt to it, they adapt. And it takes a couple of games, and then the games continue, and it's better hockey. It is better hockey. Like, I defy anyone to say that international games at any level aren't better than a lot of NHL games, because it just turns into rodeo in the third period. I mean, you saw in the Montreal Rangers series, I said sarcastically to Ray on NBC, short of putting the puck over the glass, which is automatic, what would you have to do in this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And just since you mentioned that, the puck over the glass, Gord, I mean, they'll take the time to discuss amongst themselves sometimes 4 or 5 minutes to figure out where a faceoff is and whether it's a penalty for puck over the glass, and yet there could be a slash or an injury in a high stick, and they don't take the time. But I'm wondering, is it a lack of a willingness to take some short-term pain or even pain over the course of a year and deal with some bad headlines, and maybe they're afraid of that bad press?
I don't know what it is. That's probably part of it. I think there's not a will on the part of management and ownership to really enforce it, because they don't want to. It's the same with suspensions. NHL people hard suspensions because they're afraid it'll be their guy that gets it next. And I've never understood that. I mean, you look what happened to Johnny Goodrow this year. You look at what happened to Mark Messier with these slashes on the hands. It's ridiculous. I mean, it really is ridiculous, the amount of slashing that takes place. And Brad Treliving was talking about it. You know, and our guys went back and looked at that game. Johnny Goodrow was slashed 12 times in the hand in that game, I think was the number.
Well, that kind of puts it in perspective, yeah.
Like, why is that permitted? Why are we allowing the best player in the league to get slashed on the hand? It doesn't make any sense.
Gord, of course, is in Paris for the World Hockey. You know, forgive us for not paying close attention to it yet. I don't think a game has been played as a game. Have we missed a game yet?
It hasn't started yet. Starts Friday.
All right, so... Take back feeling bad about not paying attention yet. What kind of team does Canada have?
They've got a good team. You know, they've got, when you've got Matt Duchene and Ryan O'Reilly, who have been here for the last two World Championships and have played very well for Canada over those, you know, this is going to be a good team they've got. And I would think, you know, you got Claude Giroux, Nathan MacKinnon, Marc-Edouard Vlasic here now, although his clothing is not.
Well, like, you may as well, if that happens, it might as well be in Paris.
Yeah, you know, although I gotta say, some of the stuff I've seen that was here, I'm not sure you'd want to. I don't know. There are nice clothes here, but there's also some strange stuff.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Well, like ultra skinny jeans, like ultra skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Well, what about the outfit you tweeted out for Dregs?
A nice orange jacket, orange rhinestone jacket, electric blue pants, and bright orange high tops. Yeah, he's going to wear it, apparently.
Is he really unsuspecting life of the party when he's on the road?
Dregs?
Yeah.
Darren has a subversively brilliant sense of humor.
Subversively brilliant, okay.
Yes, yes.
Who else is there with you?
I got Ray Ferraro. We got Laura Dykin here with us as our reporter. We got a producer named Peter Buchanan who's here with us. Dennis Bayek and Shane Nattie are in Cologne, Germany. They'll do the games in the other pool. We're doing TSN's covering every game in both pools.
By the way, since you mentioned a couple of names from out west, how about Gary Lawless getting a gig with the Las Vegas Golden Knights, huh?
Yeah, I highly recommend he invest in SPF 50 because I'm afraid that the Vegas Hockey Insider will be looking like a tomato by Christmas.
Yes, Gary Lawless, Vegas Hockey Insider on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Okay, so I got to ask you once, and I won't have to ask you again. Is it 19 minutes after midnight in Paris, or is it a different time?
No, it's 19 minutes after midnight.
We had a nice dinner out.
We had a nice dinner out tonight, and then came back, and I've done doing some work on rosters and things like that. It was a good evening out.
Yeah. Ray behave himself? Yeah. Did he complain about anything at dinner or what?
No, he was very happy. I went to this restaurant in 1998 at the World Cup and really liked it. I didn't know the name of it. I vaguely knew where it was, but I was able to find it, so I was quite proud of myself.
Hmm. To those who've never been to Paris, you would say what?
It is more crowded than you think. It is very beautiful. it has a bit of an edge to it now. There's a tension here now with the election going on.
Yeah,
that is really, you know, is bringing out elements of discussion that can be pretty ugly. And there's a pretty heavy security presence here now. But it's a beautiful city. I mean, the galleries, the Champs-Élysées, the walk along the Seine, it's all beautiful. It's a fantastic city.
Yeah, Gord mentions the election. I mean, voting day is Sunday, and for all mm-hmm. of us here, we think Donald Trump is kind of a right-wing raving lunatic. I mean, Marine Le Pen is even worse.
Her dad stepped worse than that.
Yeah.
Her dad was, you know, when I was here for the World Cup soccer in 98, I mean, he was saying things that were just outrageous. Look, these discussions that are happening, in the United States are happening here. And obviously you've got a different immigration situation here where, you know, the EU border is the entry point. But once you're in the EU, you have the freedom of movement. And it's caused a lot of tension. There's no question about it.
All right. Are you up, like, in an hour? Are you going to stay up to watch Pittsburgh, Washington, or are you going to pack it in at some point?
I'm going to confess what I do is I watch the games back on the internet in the morning. So I scan through them. So I watch about an hour and a half.
All right.
But I will watch, yeah.
And just before we help put you to bed,
are you gonna stay up and watch? That's the big question. Are you gonna stay up and watch?
I'm gonna.
That's what we all want to know.
I'm gonna try. You know, but I do, and I've mentioned this at the beginning of the playoffs because I am up. I do watch as many games as possible, and especially the late ones. But I strategically try to time my dozing off period. You know, like between the two games, early in the second game. When the first game is already no longer in doubt, I do tend to doze off for a bit.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair. Now, will you watch Anaheim Edmonton today?
100%. Oh yeah, Edmonton's my pick to win the Cup, Gord.
What?
They're my pick to win the Cup.
Oh, when did you make that one?
We have a board up here, and we've all got to contribute to it. It's not who we think necessarily is going to win; it's who we want to see win. And
okay. I would have thought you would have picked Nashville.
Actually, I picked. Didn't I pick Washington with you?
You said you're going to take Washington. Yeah, and I said so. You took Washington, and I took Montreal, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Anaheim as my field pick.
Right.
On a steak dinner.
At Moishe's. That's right.
At Moishe's. Yes. We should come here and buy me dinner.
Why do I think that's a bad
deal? Are you allowed to leave the country?
Why do you think that's a bad deal?
When's the last time you left Canada?
The last time I left Canada, I was in New Hampshire in the summer. I go to Cape Cod every August. Okay, I have never been to Europe.
There's no legal prohibition on you leaving the country.
I have never been to Europe. And I want to change that, yes. I've never been to Europe.
You've never been? How old are you?
I'll be 58 soon.
And you've never been to Europe?
That's right.
Ray's never been to Paris before.
I heard that, and that's why I'm curious.
He's never been to Paris.
I'm really curious what his first impressions are, but he won't talk to us, unlike you.
He didn't like the smoke. The smoke was
bugging him. The chitin? You mean the cigarette smoke?
Yeah, people just smoke everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like we walked around the corner, and he walked into a cloud of smoke, and that bugs Ray. So that was the biggest thing that bothered him. And the fact that the menus are all in French, which he finds disturbing here in
yeah.
France.
Yeah, too bad there isn't a Ray Ferraro English menu for him in Paris. Yeah.
But no, we had a really nice dinner tonight, and he actually ate Ray tonight.
What?
He ate skate. Like a Ray, like the fish.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that food.
You've never
type.
Heard of it? Well, you know, like a stingray. Like you've heard of a stingray?
Yes.
But all kinds of rays.
But not as food.
Yeah, well, that's what he had tonight.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
There's no such thing as a gourd. There's a gourd. I could eat a gourd, yeah.
There is a gourd. It's with a U,
yeah,
isn't it?
A vegetable. I could eat a vegetable.
All right. Last one. Seriously. Yesterday marked the fifth anniversary of Mark Bergevin as GM of the Canadiens. We're asking all our contributors to give him a grade. Right. And
Therrien started to lose that locker room. Therrien started to lose the media. Therrien started to lose the fan base. And I don't know why he showed the loyalty that he did for as long as he did, but he did. And it's his job and his decision on how far he goes with them. But I think for the longest time you started to see that he had lost his locker room. I think that there's some good moves. I mean, the idea that you took a flyer on Radulov makes up for your absolute debacle you took with Semin. I think the Montreal Canadiens are heading in the right direction, and he has the right philosophy.
Aaron Ward in TSN studio as we speak, about to do stuff with Gino Retta. A lot of C's on Twitter for Mark Bergevin's 5 years. What say you?
I give a B+.
B plus.
B or B plus, yeah. I think, I think that, sure, there's a move that backfired, but I think that's true of every general manager. Look, I mean, ultimately, general managers are judged on how their team does. And for me, if you look at the last 5 years under Bergevin, what they've made the playoffs, what is it, 4 to 5 years under him, right? Missed once. Got to the second round twice. Went to the conference final. I think people have to understand how difficult the job is and how difficult it is in the cap era to get it done. And I think that.
You could say that, and I might say it, but I don't think fans want to hear him say that.
No, you're right. They don't. No one wants to hear how difficult your job that pays you millions of dollars is. I would say that the one issue I would have with the Canadiens is I'm not sure how well they've done developing players internally. I think that's one area that you'd look at and say, for some reason, Montreal Canadiens prospects seem to not do well after showing a lot of promise. And I think of guys like Jakob Delarose, who kind of stalled in his development, and others that just don't seem to develop very well. And I'm not sure why that is. I think a lot of the anger towards Bergevin is directed over the Subban deal, for sure. And it's a very unpopular deal in Montreal. And so, my understanding is that he has said repeatedly that he would make that deal again. And, it didn't work out. I mean, Shea Weber had a terrific year for Montreal, right? So, but I think it was a blockbuster deal that was not popular on a number of levels, and so fans don't like it. And I think ultimately that deal will be, positively or negatively, will be his legacy with the Canadiens.
Gord Miller, TSN, on site for the World Hockey Championship. It gets underway Friday on TSN. And while you're on the subject of restaurants and food.
I eat roadkill. I've been known to pick it up, and cook it on the manifold of my car in Maine, two partridges. And I remember Hazel cooked two pheasant for me, what were hit by a UPS truck when I was pitching for Moncton. I can name
Hazel?
You all the meals that I've eaten that I've run over.
Yeah, the roadkill grill.
You want to avoid that in Paris.
Okay. So, you know what? You kill it, we'll grill it.
Have a great week, Gord. We'll be watching Friday.
Thanks, you too, guys.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Associated with war and death and video games and why our children are messed up, and send them to a farm, have them go kill their dinner once in a while, and maybe we would have a different, more honorable class of human beings.